The book of Revelation, chapter 7. This is, tonight we're going to begin reading in verse 9. This is kind of a chapter that I enjoy reading and thinking about. Read a little while and think. Read a little while and think. You know, it's good to meditate on Scripture. You know, just sometimes in studying, I read all of one verse, and that's as far as I get, you know, and sit there and think. And sometimes you go farther, but it's important. I'd encourage you, spend time in the Word of God. And if it's a one-verse devotion day, well, you glean all that you can glean from that one verse. If it's a whole chapter, then you glean all you can glean from that whole chapter. All right? Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Would you stand as we read from God's Word, and we see this great multitude before the throne of God. Verse 9 says, "And after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, Sir, you know. He said to me, These are the ones who come out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more, and the sun shall not strike them nor any heat, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eye." Again, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your precious word. And we thank you for the great encouragement that we receive from your word. We thank you for the stability that's found in your word. We thank you, Lord, that we have this opportunity to share your word and to meditate on your word tonight. Lord, I pray that you would take this word, that you would apply it to our hearts and to our lives. You knowing every need present, Lord, I pray that you'll supply. I pray that Lord, you'll convict where conviction is right. That, Lord, you'll comfort, that you'll encourage, that Lord, whatever the spiritual needs are of this congregation, I pray that tonight you will answer through your word. And, Lord, again, we thank you most of all for Jesus, and for giving your life upon Calvary for our sins and our failures. For we are all sinners and have sinned and come short of your glory. We thank you for that precious blood that washes white as snow and cleanses us from all iniquity. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us and giving your life for us. Now guide us in our study, Lord, for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we talked about the 144,000 who were sealed in their foreheads. And they were sealed and reserved for the purpose of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we talked about our need this morning to be a witness, to share Jesus. But you know, as you look at these 144,000, they carrying the gospel throughout the world and fulfillment of Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 that we read this morning. They will be successful. And tonight we see their success as we're around the throne of God, and we find there a great multitude which no man can number. You know how many that is? Neither do I. I think it's beyond our ability. I know it's beyond our ability. But these, it says, are they that came out of great tribulation. And it's people, I love this part, of every nation. Every nation in the world. That word's ethnos, the Greek word. From every race of the world. Did you know there's going to be black people in heaven? And Indians in heaven? Both kinds, the American Indians and the Indian Indians, you know. They're going to be Japanese, Chinese in heaven. And we see the success of these 144,000 as it's described, from every ethnos or every race, every tribe, every people, every language. There is a huge multitude gathered around the throne of God. Gentiles who have been saved by the preaching of these 144,000 standing there in their white robes and their palm branches in their hands. You know, the palm branches are symbolic of victory. These that have come out of great tribulation have come out victorious. You know, they win. You know, understand what they've gone through. In the tribulation period, there will be a time where it's open season on Christian. As a matter of fact, a time we call it the mark of the beast, and we'll study about that mark a little later on. But if one in the tribulation period does not accept the mark of the beast, you will not be able to buy or sell. That means you don't eat. You will not be able to work or make a living. You'll not be able to even own a house or a car. There will be nothing for you. As a matter of fact, during that time period, it's going to be open season on anyone who refuses this mark of the beast. And now we see these saints of God who, at the preaching of the 144,000 Jews, have responded to the gospel message and having gone through tremendous persecution, standing victorious before the throne of God in their white robes. Literally, brilliant white robes. That word white is not just white. I started to say, I'm like this white shirt I'm wearing, but I'm not wearing a white shirt, am I? Like Brother Greg's white shirt. But it is a brilliant, shining white. They are standing there glowing, literally, before the throne of God in victory. And the reason they're there in victory is because they have not bowed themselves to worship of the beast. I want you to think about that just a little bit, okay? They have made a choice of Jesus Christ instead of the world system in that day. Now, here's what I want you to grasp. Do you realize there's always a choice? There's always a choice. I've heard people make the statement as they gave up their morals and they gave in to temptation of Satan, and they say, I had no choice. Yes, you do. There is always a choice. Now, granted, sometimes the choice of righteousness is not an easy choice, but one thing that Satan cannot rob from us is our choice. He can't make us do anything. You've heard people say, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't make you do it. He just gave you, he laid it before you and you chose to do it. Yeah. There's such pressure in the world today. And I wish if I could get it across to our youth and to our adults, we don't have to do anything. You understand that? You as a young person don't have to give in to the pressures and the pressure that your peers and your fellow workers will put on you. You don't have to give in. It is a choice. And you know, sometimes the choice is hard, and maybe you may even suffer because of the choice that you made. But a life of faithfulness and righteousness before Almighty God is always the right choice. And you are the only one that can make that choice. I can't make it for you. You can't make it for me. It's a personal choice. And you see these who've gathered before the throne of God who have made their choice. They chose Jesus. And you know what they do? Here's the amazing thing. They're standing there glowing in their robes, palms of victory, ready to go. And here they break out in praise. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And then, you know what everybody else does? The elders and the angels around the throne, they can't let these saints get ahead of them. So what do? They break out in praise. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. I love the worship in the book of Revelation. Every time you turn around, it seems like somebody's bowing down to praise the Lamb. I like that. I feel sorry for people that don't get worship today. That don't understand that, man, we need it. You know what I found about worship? I think I get more out of it than God does. And I don't mean that selfishly, but I cannot truly go through a worship service and pour my heart out to God and say, Lord, I praise you for the wonderful God that you are, and not come away just blessed, you know? I find these people who've been through so much here, I mean, they've paid the ultimate price with their very life. We whine and complain about conditions of our life, but these have given their life. They've been persecuted for the cause of Christ, and they're gathered around that throne, and the thing that they want to do, they don't want to complain, they don't want to whine, they bow down and praise. Salvation belongs to our God. We win. I love that. Then we go on. And I want to read verses 13 through the end again. Okay? Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. Here's the part I want you to get, okay? And He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. Let's stop right there for just a moment. Now, you understand this is the mass of saints that come out of the great tribulation from the preaching of the 144,000 that was sealed in our study this morning. But verse 15, he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. That word dwell is an interesting word. As a matter of fact, there are some translations that translate it to spread his tent over. And it literally means to spread one's tent over. So as they're standing, they're praising before the throne, and this angel tells John, oh, listen, Jesus is going to spread his tent over them. He said, Brother Doug, what does that mean? Well, it's the idea of protection and provision. These people have been through so very much and paid the ultimate price with their lives. And now Jesus says, I'm going to spread my tent over you. I'm going to provide for you. It's going to be okay. Nobody else is going to hurt you. Nobody else is going to persecute you. Nobody else is going to kill you because you've placed your faith and your trust in me. Nobody else is going to hurt you. Nobody else is going to torture you because I'm going to take care of you. That's kind of the idea there. Listen, as I thought about that, you know, I was reminded, do you realize one of these days it's all going to be over? Okay? This life is not going to last forever, and I praise God it's not. I'm not ready to jump off a bridge or in front of a bus or anything like that, you understand? But all the joy and the comfort in knowing that one of these days I'm going to be in the presence of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to be one of these in this great multitude that come out of great tribulation, because I'm going in the first busload when where the rapture occurs at the beginning of the tribulation, okay? But listen, one of these days for us, this life will be over. And we read in the book of John chapter 14 how that Jesus told his apostles, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This life is not going to last forever. And for the child of God, folks, this life can't compare to the next one. I've heard people say, I've got a retirement program that's out of this world. If you're a child of God, you really do. You know? There has been a place prepared for you. And one of these days, I like to sit around and think. I'm a ponderer. And mind you, God has blessed me with a good life. You know, there's been some bumps in the road along the way, but who hasn't had the bumps in the road along the way? But I can only imagine what it's going to be like to be in the presence of Jesus when he says, Satan's not going to tempt you anymore. Satan's not going to fight you anymore. Satan's not going to sift you anymore. You're in my presence now. Now, I'm going to take care of you. You're my child. What a day that'll be, you know? Amen? Well, that song, what a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look on his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Folks, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Maybe not in this life, but I guarantee you in the next one, for the child of God, it's going to get better. I love the way that he continues here in verse 16. They shall neither hunger anymore, nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. They won't hunger anymore or thirst. See, in the tribulation period, they couldn't buy or sell food, you know. Because they refused the mark of the beast, now they're dwelling with the bread of life. They'll never hunger again. The sun won't strike them anymore. You know, they won't own a house in the tribulation period because they refused to take the mark of the beast. So they're living in the elements. Now Jesus has spread his tent over them. Say, you're under my tent now. You're under my protection now. They have that place prepared by Jesus. The Lamb says, will lead them to the living fountains of water. Revelation 22:1 talks about that river flowing out of the throne. What it's symbolic. I believe it's a real river, but it also, it's an indication of the eternal life that's flowing from the throne. You know what it reminds me? It reminds me of Jesus telling them, listen, folks, y'all have entered into the good life, and you know what? It ain't never going to end. It'll never end. And I especially love the closing of this. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. We think about that for a little while. You know, when we think about wiping away every tear, we think of that. No. That wiping away every tear, wipe to wipe away, means to eliminate. God's not just going to say, there, it'll be okay, my child. He's going to eliminate the tears. Nobody's going to hurt you anymore, he says, you know. Nobody's going to fight you anymore. There'll be no pain. Can you imagine an eternity with no pain? No pain. You know, and I've shared with you before, the older I get, the more things hurt. And I'm not even old yet. Yeah, I've got a long way to go. Can you imagine no pain? Can you imagine no sorrow? Can you imagine no worries? How many of you have worries? I do. Don't we all? Can you imagine a life where there's nothing to worry about? Boy, I just almost can't get there. I like thinking about it, but I almost can't get there. What a life. And like I say, I'm not preaching this from the viewpoint. I know that we today, we're not going to be part of this multitude, but folks, we're going to have a lot in common with them, because we're going to have a ringside seat in heaven at this point if you're a child of God. Coming to that point where God eliminates their pain, their sorrow, their suffering. Listen, I want to tell you something. Heaven is real. Heaven is real. You know, I think there are a lot of people today who have the concept that it's a fairy tale. No, sir. It's been built by my Savior, Jesus Christ. That place that I'm going has been prepared by the hand of the Son of God. And it is real. I believe in heaven. Do you believe in heaven? The Bible talks about it. I believe it. But if you believe in heaven, there's one more place you've got to also believe in. That's hell. Listen, you're going to spend eternity in one of those two places. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And that's the two options. There's no in between. Newsflash, there's no such thing as purgatory. That in between place, I was trying to remember. I couldn't remember. That in between, there's no in between. Folks, you either go whole hog or you don't go at all. Okay? Listen, if you're not a child of God tonight, why would you leave out of here not having the assurance of heaven when the invitation goes out to everyone, every tribe, every nation, every race, every color, every creed? The call goes out, come. Come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Come. And tonight, by approaching the Lord in prayer, confessing to Him that you are a sinner in need of grace, acknowledging that Jesus is the Son of God who paid for your sin upon the cross of Calvary, tonight, if you call upon Him for salvation, you will be saved. Wouldn't it be better to go out of here knowing you're going to heaven than knowing you're not? Listen, heaven's going to be good. I don't pretend to have not even scratch the surface of having an idea of what it's really going to be like, but I can tell you this, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. But hell's also going to be bad. A place of torment. Listen, the choice is yours. Remember earlier I talked about a choice. Tonight you've got to make a choice. You choose heaven or the Son of God, Jesus Christ, or you choose to reject Jesus Christ, the Son of God, which means hell. Oh, listen, know the joy of the Lord tonight as we have this verse of invitation. I'd invite you to come. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for that place that you've prepared for all those who place their faith and trust in you. Thank you for the assurance that you give that all who call upon you for salvation shall be saved. Now, Lord, I pray for those who are here who do not know you as their personal Savior, that today is the day that they make the right choice, that they choose to come to you, that they know the joy of your love, that they call upon you for salvation and have that assurance of heaven. Thank you, Lord, for your word that is such an encouragement. And thank you for loving us and for giving this opportunity tonight for us to worship you and to study your word and to respond to your word. Now, Lord, we pray that your will is done and you'll be glorified by every decision made. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.